Hello and welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward. I'm Bruce Maples, publisher of Forward Kentucky. This is the second of three podcasts that we recorded on Friday, January the 7th about redistricting. The first one was with Robert Connie, a data scientist, and the maps that he was able to figure out from the data the Republicans did release so that we could figure out precinct placement and analysis. This podcast is with Dee Pregliasco, who is with the League of Women Voters of Kentucky, and it's about what the League's position is on the maps as they've been delivered and what the League is going to do going forward. Hope you'll listen to this one and the next one. Thanks. So I'm here with Dee Pregliasco of the Kentucky League of Women Voters, and we're going to talk quickly about redistricting, which she has been talking with people about for months and certainly over the last week. Dee, welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So the maps have finally dropped, or at least sort of dropped. We don't really have good precinct information, but at least we have pictures to look at. And as we all know, the Republican-led legislature is rushing to get them through as fast as they can, even perhaps coming in tomorrow in the middle of the snow to finish moving them through. So I know that the League of Women Voters did some maps, has been pushing for more transparency and a slower process. So let's cut right to the chase. You've seen the maps as they've been dropped. Is there anything good to say about them first? And then we'll talk about anything bad.
Okay. Well, there are two parts to this. Of course, there's the House, which the good thing was, at least a little bit of good, they issued theirs last Thursday, but of course that was right before the holiday weekend.
Right.
So we did compliment them on that. And they seemed overall to be a little more compact, but there were still a lot of issues, particularly with cities and counties. But, you know, there are places in Kentucky besides Louisville and Lexington where there are significant cities, whether it's Jonesboro, Bowling Green, Hopkinsville, Pikeville, and of course up in northern Kentucky. So again, they were a little early, but we've been pushing for them to make this an open process for, well, actually we've been working on it since 2017, but pushed an open process since the legislature met in 2020, and then of course again 2021, and now here it is 2022. The Senate did not drop their maps until Tuesday. Both houses said, and they are on target, they're doing what they said they were going to do. We're going to vote on these and have these passed by tomorrow, Saturday. Okay, I guess tomorrow's the 8th. So what's happened? Have we been able to, you know, look at them? Well, we have them now. The Senate maps didn't come out till Tuesday. You actually can go to our website, lwvky.org, and look at what we've produced and look at what they have produced. You can also go on and find out through the website of Robert Kahn. I think it's K-A-H-N-E. You might be familiar with him. He's a data expert that has a good reputation. And you can get down into the weeds of the precincts. There should be a link on, I'm not the website person, but there should be a link even on our website that you can get to those. And we actually have a League member in Bowling Green who's very good at that, who's been working on that, and that should be out also. So we issued a statement Sunday about the House and what we liked and what we objected to. We issued a statement about the Senate maps, which went out yesterday. We testified Wednesday before the House committee. They did let us testify virtually. The Senate would not let us testify virtually, even though COVID is obviously a huge issue. And so we only were able to submit our statement. So you mentioned transparency. I mean, let's face it, there are two really critical things. Well, actually, there are a lot of critical things about this. It should have been transparent. We issued maps last year based on the 2010 census. We issued maps this year in September based upon the early numbers that came out. And then after we had 8 public forums, we issued redrafted maps based upon the input that we got from people all over the state. And of course, we've done, over the last 2 years, we've done over 100 presentations on the maps, fair maps, you know, educating people, talking to them about this. So obviously they could have done that. The legislature could have done that. They chose not to do it. And, you know, I want to try to not be so cynical about all of these things. But I thought it was interesting. Senate Stivers, when he testified before the committee on Wednesday, was very proud to say, we did not do anything that would hurt any incumbents. Well, let's face it, that's the elephant in the room, the incumbents. We did our maps, all the times we did our maps, we didn't pay attention to incumbents because the voters should choose the legislators, in other words, elected officials, they shouldn't choose us. But what they have done is obviously is choose us. So we're trying to still keep analyzing all of this. You know, the fact that they would push all of this through in these 5 days is not acceptable at all. I mean, it's hard work. They've said that. We agree it's hard work to do this. So to think that the public can have the time to, you know, sort of analyze these, sort of understand them and make comments, that's not going to happen in a week in January where, you know, not only do we have COVID and now we have snow. They've pushed the filing deadline to the 25th. There's no reason we couldn't have the next several weeks, or for that matter, months. They could even push this filing deadline later to let the public look at these and see what's happening. Now, when you look at them, you know, just sort of bare looking at them, you know, you're not quite sure. You need to dig into, just like you said, the precinct level. The one map that you can look at and say, oh my gosh, gerrymandering is rearing its ugly head is the congressional map. The fact that they would draw a map, and I know you've seen that, that goes all the way from the Mississippi River all the way up to Franklin County, which is in north central Kentucky, is, I mean, it makes no sense. And the fact that they could produce that map and not, I mean, it's just laughable. It's just absolutely laughable. And then, of course, the other big thing is this lasts for 10 years. You know, it's not like we can change this right away. I mean, there could be lawsuits. I have no idea. People ask us all the time, are there going to be lawsuits? I don't know. You know, we don't have the structure to file a lawsuit. And I'm sure there are people that are looking at it all over the state, as well as national groups. I know you've had the Brennan Center on here before, the ACLU, the Princeton Gerrymandering Project. There are all kinds of groups. And this is a voting issue.
Well, let me raise a couple of questions. Let's start with one that I just thought about or actually heard about this morning, which is a lot of people are saying they need to slow down. And yet one person pointed out, and I think it's an interesting point, that perhaps the message should not be slow down. It should be stop. Mm. This person pointed out that the last time this was done, the 2010 census, we didn't pass, or excuse me, the legislature did not pass redrawn maps until 2013.
Right.
There's nothing that says they have to do them this year. There's nothing that says they have to do them and have them affect this election. So this person was saying we should tell them to stop completely and let the public weigh in and make these maps applicable to next year and redo the process and so on and so forth. What do you think about that?
Well, I like the idea. I'm glad somebody talked about that with the stop. I will tell you what, I think there's some legal considerations in regards to putting it off to next year because all of the election, because we have all these elections this fall. We have all the judges have to run, you know, all the representatives have to run, and then senators are running. So I think there's some issues there. The reason it was put off to 2013 the last time was because the Republicans were in charge of the House, the Senate after 2012, and the Democrats were in charge of the House, but there were lawsuits that were filed. And so the lawsuit wasn't settled by the Supreme Court of Kentucky until 2012. And so they didn't get then to the redistricting until 2013. So I think there's some legal considerations there that I don't want to say for sure that that's the best way to do it, but they certainly could stop. And, you know, they could even do this. Like I said, they can move the filing deadline way before the primary to let people know. But again, if you draw, you know, if you draw reasonable maps that make sense and have public input, and if they've done this the last 2 years, regardless of the fact that the census numbers didn't come out, you know, they could have had hearings last year to say to people, okay, this is what the current map is. What's the problem with the current map? Regardless of the fact that we know the population moved to the I-65 and the I-75 corridor that's connected by the I-64 corridor, they still could have gotten public input last year. And then even after the new numbers came out, they could have gotten public input. But they didn't. They really weren't interested in that. I mean, we talked to people. We only talked to one person in the Senate, Julie Rocky Adams. We could never get any kind of willingness to talk to us from the other leadership, Stivers or Thayer. I did speak to Thayer once when I testified in July, and he, in his way, and you know, Damon Thayer was, well, the Constitution allows us to do the redistricting. We know that. We were just supporting an advisory commission to, you know, to help them.
Right.
You know, we weren't trying to take it away from them. The only way to take it away from them would be to have a constitutional amendment, which of course, you know, that's a big, heavy lift, a big, heavy lift. And then he said, my constituents have elected me to do, you know, to do the redistricting. Well, you know, he represents not only the people who voted for him, but all the other people in his district.
Right.
And I keep pointing that out to people. I say, but you, and you know, bless her heart, Senator Southworth said it herself. I listened to her on Wednesday. She said, we represent all the people of Kentucky, not just, you know, the constituents of our particular district. So I think there may be some legal issues in regards to the stop completely, in regards to the elections that are scheduled for the fall, because the Constitution provides that the representatives have to run, you know, every 2 years. Like I said, all of the judges are running, though I think there's less any kind of problem with the judicial districts, for sure. Senate did, or what the House did about the judicial districts, Justice Minton had some comments, and I don't know where I haven't found out today where that stands. But I like the idea of stop.
Is there anything in our state constitution that says it says that the legislature has to redraw the districts based on the census? I understand that,
right?
But is there anything that says it has to be done within a certain time frame?
I'm not aware of that. And again, I think because lawsuits have been filed in the past, I mean, the last lawsuit was named Fisher. There have been four Fisher lawsuits in Kentucky, as well as going back to the 30s and back in 1907. So there's been a lot of lawsuits filed over this issue. And I think they even went one period more than 10 years before they ever redrew the districts.
The other thing that was raised in another meeting this morning was this concept that they keep talking about, that the maps as drawn meet all legal requirements. And this person said, without having precinct level analysis of impact on groups of concern, we don't know if they meet all legal requirements. And this person also pointed out that in addition to the Voting Rights Act and other things like that, the Kentucky Constitution calls for a free and fair election. And there was a case in, I think, Pennsylvania, where they overturned the maps because they proved that the maps as drawn did not provide for a free and fair election, just on that phrase.
Right.
This person said, absolutely, we can, you know, talk about that in Kentucky, that these maps are not equitable and that they do not provide for a free and fair election. Any thought about that from you?
Yes, you're really right. It's until you really understand the precincts. And let me sort of digress a second. When they presented the House maps, Representative Miller talked about, and Representative Osborne said, oh, and you know, we follow the precincts. because that's local officials to decide the precincts. Well, you and I know that precincts change all the time. They redraw those lines, you know, all the time. They are not set in stone, and they have to do it because of population issues and because of redistricting also. So you're right. Without the precinct information, which I think we are on to being able to provide that and get to that. But again, what's the time frame? You know, if they're going to vote on this tomorrow, you know, it's hard to say, well, but look. So, for example, the Voting Rights Act issues involving the minority districts, communities of interest, so they can elect who they want. So the House bragged that they created four. And in our maps, we only had three. And they accused us of not following the Voting Rights Act. Well, besides the Voting Rights Act, there are a lot of Supreme Court cases that deal with the issue, not just of pure population, but of voter population. You know, it doesn't matter that this district has these many people if it doesn't have any voters, for example, where there's a prison, you know, because they don't let those people vote in prison. Then you have to look at the voting age population. So we don't believe we violated that at all. But again, to get down to the precincts, here's a perfect example. We know that in putting, for example, Mackenzie Cantrell and Lisa Wilner in the same House district, they were in separate districts. By putting them in the same districts, one of the things that Representative Nemus talked about is, you know, we don't want to divide communities. And if there's an automatic dividing line, we honor that. And he talked about Southern Parkway. And if you know anything about Louisville, Southern Parkway can or cannot be a dividing line. What's interesting is, though, Mackenzie Cantrell lives on the far western side of this district they created, and Lisa Wilner lives on the far eastern side of this district. Well, guess what? Lisa Wilner lives on the east side of I-65. If there ever is a dividing line of communities, it's going to be I-65. Mackenzie Cantrell, by being the far west of that district, is on the far west side of I-65. So again, without looking at the precincts, you know, it's hard. You're right. You can't tell. And you're right. There was the Pennsylvania case. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, look, you violated this. So yeah, you've got the equal protection issues as well as the voting rights, as well as the Kentucky Constitution. And let's face it again, just like you've said, without the precincts, it's hard to tell. And we don't have any time to tell. You know, it's not even like the people in those districts are in Hopkinsville, or Pikeville, or Laurel County, Northern Kentucky. Northern Kentucky has a lot of issues. Bowling Green under the Senate district used to have their own senator. Our Warren County had its own senator, and now they've divided it up. We know that creates division, of which protects the certain parties. And yes, Democrats have done gerrymandering in the past. And what we've said to Republicans this time, when we met with them all the last 2 years, be the good guys, be good government people, invite the people to have a comment, and then do it. And then you really would have a bipartisan, you know, redistricting plan, which they don't have.
So here's my last question, or my next to last question. Okay. Is the League going to do any sort of list of all the issues they see with the maps? I've seen your statements. We published both of them, I think, which listed some sort of high level issues. But you've mentioned a number of, like, the Wilner Cantrell thing and so on and so forth. Is the League going to do a really good bullet list of issues they see?
Well, I tell you what, again, we have somebody who's working on all of the maps down to the precinct level for us to try to have a better sense of that. One of the things that's interesting is that they've added Nina Kulkarni in Louisville district as a district of opportunity. All right, obviously she's not an African-American. She's the only, you know, Indian-American member of the General Assembly. Again, because let me tell you what one person said. One person said they sort of moved the districts in Jefferson County. Instead of north and south, had they moved them east and west to try to make it look like, oh, they aren't gerrymandered? And I will tell you, they were gerrymandered by the Democrats the last time. There's just, we can't get around that. Jefferson County was gerrymandered to protect the Democrats the last time. So, but have done some optic things to try to make us think, if you just look at it, you say, well, that looks okay. Unlike the congressional map, which you look at it and you obviously know it's been gerrymandered. So you're right. We just need to get down in those weeds and literally that takes some time, and we are working on it. Now, we haven't analyzed Jefferson County down to the minute precinct yet. I mean, that takes a lot of time and effort. We do have people working on places around the state. Representative Wheatley talked about his district up in Northern Kentucky in Covington, that's mm-hmm. been the same district for 100 years. So just keep looking. We may put out some more statements, but the most that we've got out are our statements and what we have put out on the on our website. And then I'm pretty sure we're going to have another one that comes out today, but it just may be a link to how you can do your own deep dive into this.
So last question. If somebody else, another organization or a group of organizations or even an individual files a lawsuit to overturn the maps, to stop the process, to do anything like that, will the league join in that effort in some way?
Well, I really can't say yes or no. We joined last year in the lawsuit involving the vote, the voting issues. We joined with the NAACP and the ACLU and the Urban League, last year. But, that's going to take some really good conversations. And then have they been able to show are the issues, and do we think those are strong enough that we want to attach our name to it? And we're also bound by and work with the National League, and they have, we have consultants there and lawyers there that help us work this out. Even though I'm a lawyer, this is not wasn't my specialty.
Sure.
But certainly if there's some constitutional issues and some really egregious things that we feel like are really important, then we could join. But right now, we don't know. And of course, here's the thing. Once they pass these bills, if they do this tomorrow, they still have to go to the governor. The governor can say yes or he can veto them, and then they have to come back and vote on them again. So it's not until all of that would happen that it would be time for a lawsuit to be filed anyway.
Okay. Dee Pregliasco of the League of Women Voters, thank you so much for your time. This is obviously a hot topic, and we may call you again.
All right. Thank you for having me.
That was Dee Pregliasco of the Kentucky League of Women Voters talking about the league's work on fair maps over the past 2 years, their ongoing efforts to get the Republicans who were going to draw the maps to work with them and to listen to them, and their feelings about the maps that actually did come out and what they see is wrong with them. This is the second of three podcasts that we are posting tonight on redistricting. We have one more with Ben Carter, and I hope you will listen to it as well. Thanks for listening.